We thank the Lord for giving us another opportunity to come before Him. I don't know if you remember I shared last time we were looking into the unfaithful people of God, and in the book of Hosea, and in that book Hosea uses personal life to demonstrate the unfaithfulness of the people of God. In this case, Hosea was asked to marry a prostitute, a harlot, but he loved his wife, and yet after they have three children, his wife ran away from him and sought her secret love. But somehow, Hosea sought her and paid the price of a slave and brought her back and loved her the way he used to. And God used this example to show us, who are the children of God, that many times our condition before the Lord is like that unfaithful Gomer, the wife of Hosea, and that we have our own secret love, and at times we would run away from the Lord and go for our secret love. And as a result of that, the enemy had an opportunity to lay hold of our life and drain and devour our strength. And as a result, our hairs were sprinkled with white. In other words, we live our years in vain. Not only that, we become a silly dove, running to Egypt, going to Assyria. In other words, we go all over the place to look for solution to our problem, our life. We go to conferences, we go to seminar, we go to counseling, all of those things. And then at the end of it, the solution we conclude in that message is that we need to come. We need to return to the Lord, for He has torn us, and yet He will heal us. For He has wounded us, and yet He will bandage us up. And He will revive us after 2 days, and He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before the Lord. So we need to come to know. Let us press on to know the Lord, because His going forth is as certain as the dawn. And He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. That's what we need to do. We need to return back to God. Then one natural question that one may ask is, how do we return to the Lord? How do we do that? And recently, in our Friday night fellowship, we've been studying Luke chapter 8, and there is a prime example as to how we can come back to the Lord. So let us turn to Luke chapter 8. Let us take a look at chapter 8 from verse 43 to 48. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 48. Can I ask Phyllis to read it out loud and slow for us, please?
From behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng to press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace."
Thank you. Actually, I have this passage in mind for a little while. And it was until last Tuesday when Aiden in the prayer meeting picked that song that we just sang, "Asked in Faith." It once again confirmed in my heart that this is what the Lord wants us to hear this morning. In here, we know that at this stage, the Lord Jesus' public ministry has been at the one of his very height moment. There are a huge multitude following him wherever he would go. And these multitude were crowding and pressing upon him. He was extremely popular. And if you, ask any preacher today, if they have those kind of gathering, if they have those kind of multitude following them everywhere, they will be most happy. And yet in here, we can see that even though there is this huge multitude, this crowd following the Lord wherever he went, and yet in verse 46, the Lord Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power has gone out of me." And even though there are many peoples in here, and this seems to be the time of harvest, and yet when we bring the sheaf into the harvest, when we bring them into the threshing floor, we discover that there are much chaff, but there are not too many real wheat. In other words, what the Lord is saying is that there are many called, but few are chosen. And yet, when there is one who is blessed, who come in to have a real contact with the Lord, all of a sudden it touched the heart of the Lord in a real way, and the Lord take notice of him. We know that there are two types of hearer attending church meetings, for example. There is, first of all, on one hand, the crowd. And the crowd, the multitude, they would come and they would go. And yet these people, they were unnoticed by the Lord. And yet this somebody that the Lord is referring to, who touched the Lord Jesus, this little story was recorded in all three Gospels. Why is that so important? I think the whole of the other listeners, in other words, the multitudes, are not worth comparing to this somebody that the Lord that is referring to, because simply she has a real contact with the Lord. Now, we can take a look at this story in three different aspects regarding to this touch that the woman had for the Lord. The first aspect is that we need to use all our means and all our effort with one goal in mind, and that is every time when we come before the Lord, whether it be in your private time, whether it be in the meeting, we have to have a personal contact with the Lord Jesus. We need to use all means and effort to attain to that goal. What is the condition of the multitude? I think Peter's answer to the Lord explain and show very well the condition of the multitude. Peter said, Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you. This is the true condition of the multitude. Many a times, you know, today when people come to a church meeting, they come out of habit. Or they come because it's Sunday, because it's a Friday night fellowship. They come out of custom. These multitude, these people, they hardly know the reason for coming to the place of worship. They think in a way that it is wrong not to go. Well, maybe they come because their friends are there. Or maybe they come because they love the hymns that we sing. Maybe they come because it satisfies their own conscience. But getting near to Jesus is not the real reason for coming. And as a result, the sermons that they heard had little or absolutely no impact in their life. They come week after week, month after month, and year after year, until they would come the very last time, until they would move on to the next world. Then all of a sudden, when they move on to the next world, they will discover that having heard the Lord Jesus' message and rejected the message is not a trivial matter at all. Now, there are other people who attend meeting, who come to the Lord out of a sense of Christian duties. Many Christians, they would like to come, especially to the breaking of bread meeting. They would make sure that they partake in the bread and the cup. But they do this in a external way. They do this in a ceremonial way. They have lost the reality of letting the love of Christ to touch their heart during the meeting. They just simply, just like the multitude, press around Jesus. Their worship is outward, external. They are external hearer. They rarely feel the touch of Christ. There is no stream of life or the love of Christ that will flow from him to them. In other words, their religion is mechanical, superficial. These are the people, just like the seed that falls on the rocky soil. They receive it with joy for a short while. But because there is no firm root, just pressing around Jesus, they do not have a deep relationship with the Lord. You know, when the Lord Jesus, again in Luke chapter 8, after he cast out the demon in Gerasenes, he came back and the Bible described that the multitude welcomed him after he came back from that trip. And this multitude, their relationship with the Lord Jesus was superficial. In other words, the word of the Lord has not taken root. Brothers and sisters, we need to examine ourselves and see if we are in this kind of condition. Now, let's take a look at the condition and the attitude of this someone that the Lord Jesus is referring to. I'm sure that during that day, with this huge crowd, with this multitude, in among those hundreds or even thousands of people on the street as the Lord Jesus was proceeding, there must be some sick people in their midst. And yet the Lord took notice of this woman when she came into the scene. Why? What's so different about her? We know that she has a definite aim when coming to meetings. Her attitude when she come to a prayer meeting, when she come to listen to a sermon, when to come to communion, her attitude is very different from the crowd. The question is, how did this woman trigger an immediate response from the Lord? How did she do it? I think this is important for us to know, because we want to be able to be like her. We want to be able to have a real contact with the Lord. Now, first and foremost, she has determined in her heart that it is no use to be just simply in the crowd. You hear what I'm saying? She has determined in her heart that it is absolutely no use to be just simply among the crowd. Just come to meeting. It's not going to help her. She resolved that she must get at Jesus and touch him. Notice that she did this thing under very difficult circumstance, under very difficult situation. First of all, we know that she is a sick woman. Her feeble physical condition did not, however, stop her from coming, did not stop her from seeking the Lord Jesus. We know that at that time on the street, there are many, many people crowding and pressing upon the Lord. This huge crowd become like a big obstacle for a feeble, sick woman like her. The Bible tells us that she was sick for 12 years. The woman, her feebleness, making it so hard for her to come near to the Lord. Yet, notwithstanding her physical weakness, so intense was her desire to come that she pressed and pushed her way through. I'm sure that as she was doing that, as she was struggling so hard to get near to the Lord, she probably, her bleeding would intensify. How would I know? Because after she touched the Lord Jesus, it said that her bleeding stopped. So at a time when she was trying so hard to get near to the Lord, the bleeding intensified. It was hard on her. Brothers and sisters, you know what? It is also at times not easy for us to get at Jesus. Many a times in our own experience, when we knew to pray, immediately there are many distractions. I don't know about you, I mean, whether you be at home praying by yourself or whether you come to the prayer meeting, as soon as you kneel down and you pray, all of a sudden there is this battle going on in your mind. There are so many things that's going on. The happenings of the day, or even the little prayer of your brother and sister, all of those things become a distraction in a way. And you need to fight it through. You cannot allow those distractions to stop you from getting at Jesus. We need to fight it out. Do not let our prayer be wasted. When we come to listen to a sermon, we need to fight it through so that the message will not be thrown away. Like this woman, we must resolve in our heart, even with all the feeble condition we're in today, we need to lay hold of Christ. We need to have this resolution in our heart. We may say, well, I mean, I do want to touch the Lord, but I don't quite know how to do that. You know, in the past when I read this passage, I had the same feeling. I said, well, you know, this woman somehow was able to get to the Lord Jesus and be able to get all the crowds away so that finally she come so close to the Lord that she can stretch out her hand and touch the garment of the Lord. I said, how? Well, I want to do that, but I can't do that. But later on, when I come to think about it a little bit more, actually, I discovered the fact that it was the Lord who allowed her to come. even in her feeble condition. The reason why I know is because in chapter 8 again, we know that the Lord Jesus' mother and sibling, they were outside of the crowd. They were trying to come in to look for Jesus. Were they successful? They were not. They had to pass the word by somebody to the Lord Jesus, saying that, well, you know, your mother and your sibling are out there, and da 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 da. I was saying to myself, okay, even if Mary and the siblings of Jesus, if they're outside the crowd, they could not get into to anywhere near the Lord Jesus. How on earth would this feeble woman, who have been sick for 12 years, how would she be able to get to the Lord Jesus? Brothers and sisters, I think the fact of the matter is, when we are struggling with unbelieving thoughts, we need to know that as we are reaching out to Him, He at the same time is reaching out to us. We must reassure us of this. He will turn and say to us, make room for this feeble soul, that she may come to me. Let her desire be granted. Now this woman might consider her condition to be far from the Lord. She felt that she had no right to come in contact with the Lord Jesus. And maybe the Lord Jesus didn't even know her needs. We know that at that time, what the Lord Jesus was heading, he was heading down to Jairus, the official of the synagogue's house, to heal or to try to heal Jairus' dying daughter. That was his mission at that time. So the woman could have felt that, well, you know, I my need could be irrelevant in here. It may not be even right for me to do that, she might think. And yet, she decided to come secretly to look onto the grace of God. And she found it. Even though she was still in darkness, in a state of helplessness, God would not withhold blessing from such one who approached Him. Coming from the outside, not even dare to tell anyone what she was going to do, she was able to secretly have a real contact with the Lord Jesus. One may think that, well, since the disciple would have frequent contact with Jesus, and they, in this case, would be able to oftentimes draw strength from Him. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this thing. Not necessary, so. If they do not have a strong desire, like this woman, they may provide outward service to the Lord, and yet their lives may still be dry. You hear what I'm saying? We're talking about even the disciples who are close to the Lord Jesus. So, do not let your presumed spiritual distance prevent you from coming to Him. Though you may seem so far from the Lord, but you know what? The Lord will notice you. The same way He noticed Nathanael. When Nathanael he thought that he was by himself. He thought that nobody noticed him. But the Lord saw him from afar. The Lord saw you. The Lord noticed your condition. The Lord knows your need. Brothers and sisters, you know, you may have some kind of a difficulty, some kind of a problem in your life. Those so-called knots in your heart. Those kind of difficulties, those kind of knots that you cannot even tell your friends. And even if you tell them, they may not understand. And even if you have friends who understand your problem, they are unable to help you. Those kind of problems, you can come. You can come secretly to the Lord. You can come to the Lord. This woman's illness 12 years, use up all her money. In a way, she was at the very end of her rope. If she tell her friend, "Wow, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just, you know, go to see if I can get Jesus' help," I think her friends would probably tell her, "Forget it. Waste of time. You're not going to be able to get anywhere near." And yet, she wanted to settle this difficulty between her and God privately and directly. We need to know that many a time man's opinion oftentimes do not bring us real solution. We go and seek counseling here and there and all over the place. The last place that we will go to is to go privately, secretly, directly to the Lord and get at Him ourselves. That's a tragedy. Another thing that we need to look at is this woman came in contact with the Lord Jesus under a very deep sense of unworthiness. We know that the Levitical law tells us that he has this issue of blood, he is considered what? Unclean. And he is supposed to stay at home and not going anywhere like what she was doing. Yet her desire to go and touch the Savior was so much that she just went. Brothers and sisters, if you feel that you are not fit to touch even the skirt of the Master because you feel so unworthy, because especially when you consider your lukewarm condition lately, you feel that you're not ready to receive the grace of God. You feel that you must first clean up your own act in life. You must clean up your own self before you come to transact with God. You feel that you are so undeserving. You wonder how an unworthy sinner can receive the grace from God. You wonder, is Christ really for me? Does He really care? I'm so lukewarm. I'm so cold. Brothers and sisters, we need to know one thing. The Lord Jesus did not come for those who are healthy. The Lord Jesus did not come for those who are righteous. The Lord Jesus comes for those who are sick, for those who are wounded, for those who are lost, for those who consider themselves to be unworthy. That's what the Lord Jesus' mission is for. Do not let the enemy to cheat you out of this blessing. No. You know, our plea before the Lord is not our righteousness, but our guilt. This would be our plea. That's the only way we can come to the Lord. If we think that we have something, if we think that we are worthy to come, then you are not the object that the Lord is seeking for. Though you may think that you have many, many failures, and you are even ashamed of yourself, let me tell you, Jesus is not ashamed of you. Though you feel so unfit to come, brothers and sisters, let your unfitness even impel you with a greater urgency of desire. Let your sense of need make you all the more fervent to approach the throne of grace. Don't try to put off to a more convenient time. Many a times we do that. We are a great procrastinator. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bid me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Brothers and sisters, this hymn is not just for the gospel friends. This hymn is for Christians as well. Again, notice this woman, she has spent all her money, her health is gone, and she has altogether become useless. Her life is in ruin. In today's term, her life is toasted. That's it. One may wonder, will God ever shine upon her? Will God ever speak loving word to her? Will God even allow her to sit at the Master's feet? Come and try him, brothers and sisters. One thing we should know, it is the lowliness of heart. It is our sense of utter nothingness that makes us become ripe. Give us the right condition to receive more of Christ. You know, the emptier you are, the more room you have for the Master. The more lack you have, the more he will be able to give you. The more you feel you are so mighty sick, the more he will be able to heal you. And the more you will adore him and bless him when you are made whole. Many a times I wonder, I said, Lord, I mean, why are you taking so long to come and solve my problem, to heal me and whatnot? You know, many a times the Lord will bring us to such a state where all of the fears and all of the unright situation will be emptied out, so that we have a bigger capacity when the touch of the Lord comes. Then we will be able to receive even more of his blessing. And finally, notice another very, very important point. The woman's aim when she came was for one object only, and that is Jesus. Her sole attention was on Christ and nobody else. When she come to the street, when she come to the meeting, she was not looking for Peter, the mighty apostle. She was not looking for John or James. She zeroed in herself on one single person, and that is the Lord Jesus. You know, we are so easily carried away when we are among great saints. We're so easily carried away. Remember Peter? He made the same mistake when he was in the Mount of Transfiguration. All of a sudden, he discovered that in addition to the Lord Jesus, who were there? Elijah and Moses. He was so carried away. Hey, you know, Lord, let's make three booths. Okay? One for Elijah, one for Moses, one for you. You know, we're so carried away. I mean, if we have some great visitor, and in fact, I remember this one occasion vividly. I don't remember the exact years, but it was quite a number of years ago. There was this one time on a Tuesday night meeting. All of a sudden, out of the blue, Stephen Gong showed up. He was in our midst. And as you know, after the Sainsbury's and whatnot, we then will separate into our groups. And of course, the English group go upstairs. And we thought that Stephen Kong is going to stay down there with the more mature Christian. To our amazement, he came up and he knelt down together with us. And all of a sudden, that night, I noticed that everyone seems to be so quiet. We were so easily influenced by, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle the servant of God. Don't get me wrong in here, okay? That's not the point. We need to have the singleness of our eye. Our focus should be the Lord Jesus and nobody else. Brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus, I long in thy presence to live. From morning to evening, my one world thou art. Oh, let not my heart be contented or rest, when loving or seeking, what with thee thou part. Many times we would draw, oh, Tony Campolo's there, oh, Stephen Kong's there, Lance Lambert's there. I mean, Now, again, I'm not trying to belittle them. Don't get me wrong here. But let's try to have our focus right. We need to put out the hand of faith. We need to touch the Lord Jesus. Rest on His promise. Rely on His sacrificial blood, His undying love, and His resurrection power. All of those things are not just spiritual terms. They are real. They are for real. Something that we can actually enter. Something that we can actually experience. In a way, as I've shared on Friday, the condition of this woman is like the good soil in Jesus' parable. The key is a determination of heart to hold fast to her purpose. And what is her purpose? To reach out and touch Jesus. It's just that simple. Regardless of the many obstacles and reasons that work against her, she will not let go, but continue to seek the Lord. Unless we have a real contact with the Lord Jesus, she knows that coming to meeting is just in vain. I hope that we settle this in our heart. That we have our focus right. The second aspect of the story is this. The woman in the crowd did touch the Lord Jesus. And having done so, she received, the Bible said, a virtue from Him. The healing energy streamed at once through the fingers of faith into the woman. In Christ, there is this healing of all spiritual diseases. And it's a speedy healing as well. Healing which will not take months or years. It was done in 1 second. There is in Christ this sufficient healing, though your diseases would be multiplied beyond all bounds. There is in Christ this all-conquering power to drive every ill out of your body. Though your problems, your difficulties may be like mountains, insurmountable, yet a touch of Christ will heal you. Brothers and sisters, only we will have a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. Only we will have a glimpse of Him. That would be sufficient for me. However, time is usually needed to get our attitude right before God. The healing took a second, but there is a period of preparation, cultivating of the right attitude. We need to put our focus on the Lord. We have to come with a determined heart, getting through all interference, the outside noises, the noises of the multitude, and the obstacles of self-will, just desiring to have Him. And when you touch Him, even though it is just a glimpse of His goodness, that would be sufficient for me. Only one look at the Savior, then was my spirit set free. Only one touch from the Lord will set you free from your bondages, your weaknesses. Only one glimpse of Him will fill your heart with gladness. This indeed is a very precious gospel to all sinners. If they touch the Lord, though the devil himself was in them, but that one touch would drive out every little and big devil from their life. You may be in certain bondage of sin for years. This sin may have done so much damage to your life. But if you resolve to believe in Christ, if you stretch out your hand to touch Him, if you have a real contact with your Savior, the fetters of your bondage will be broken, as it is said in 2 Corinthians. The enemy's strongholds will be torn down by the Lord, by that one touch. You say, well, I have been so dry inside for so long. I have been very doubt. My spiritual life was in a very low depth. I have not heard from the Lord for a long time. I've lost my first love, in fact, for Him. But a touch from the Lord Jesus will raise the spiritually dead, will empower you, will revive you. Now, what do we need to do, brothers and sisters? What do you need to do? We need to learn it from this woman. We need to struggle hard with perseverance, no matter what it takes. Let us not give up just yet, because God has yet to answer our prayer. And He will. Dear brothers and sisters, we must get at Jesus. Determine in our heart that you do not just want to go through the motion. You do not want to continue to live in this half-dead, half-alive situation. In other words, you don't want to continue to live with this lukewarm condition, this lukewarm Christian life. You don't want to do that. No matter what the price it takes, you resolve in your heart. No matter how many times you fail, you determine in your heart that you must have a real contact with the Master. You may say, I still have many a doubt. But your doubt will soon vanish when you draw near to Christ. Take a look at this woman. She fell in her body. Something came in that made her whole. Over the years, there are situations that the Lord put me into that I experienced similar situation. Only one touch. All of a sudden, the disease is gone. The problem is settled in 1 second. Brothers and sisters, do not wait for evidence. We must come to Christ for evidence. Come as you have never come at all. Come to the Lord Jesus as a sinner. Come to the Lord secretly in your heart. Come to the Lord Jesus needing Him. Come to the Lord just the way you are, though so unworthy, though you still have doubt, and yet you still come. And He will turn the tide around. Now, what is the benefit of holding fast our faith and touching the Lord Jesus? We know that the Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. The flow of blood for 12 years, meaning that this woman's life, she was draining her life. In other words, she's living a life of vanity, living a dry and barren life. There's no growth, no fruitfulness. It symbolizes a life that is under the judgment of God. By stretching her hand of faith, a purposeful hand, a determined hand, to touch Jesus, immediately Jesus' power of life has gone forth from Him to the woman. It is this power, this virtue, this nourishment, this moisture, that stopped the flow of the blood. When the power of the Lord Jesus come in, you know what? Your dryness will become history. Your life will be restored. It allow you to once again take root in Christ. To put it differently, it enable you to take root in your heart. Today you may be surrounded with your barren life. You may be still hearing noises from the multitude. Today God still seems to be so far away. We must learn it from this woman. There is a fountain in Jesus that you can reach out and draw from. A real contact with Jesus enable our faith to firmly root it and build up in Him. And lastly, with this story, We need to take a look at why would the Lord Jesus want to identify the woman whom he had healed. We know that the Lord Jesus finally identified that, so the woman knew that she could not hide herself. She came forward and admit to the Lord, told the Lord the real story of how she got healed. But why did the Lord want to identify the woman? Is it good enough that this woman now get healed and everything is fine? Why would the Lord want to do that? Two reasons. The first one, while her attitude of coming to the Lord was right, but the Lord wanted her to know, to understand that it is not his garment that make her whole. No. Because when she touched the fringe of Jesus' garment, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He did not say, "Who touched my garment?" Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When you touch the garment of the Lord Jesus, you touch the Lord Jesus himself. The Lord wants her to know that it is him who healed her, not a physical object. Her faith would be based on trusting in the Lord Jesus. The Lord wants to personally reaffirm her faith, her act of faith, letting her know that she was made well because she sought the grace of God. Actually, this woman's seeking attitude can be summarized in this one verse. For he who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Not only that she would believe that Jesus can heal, but she believed that Jesus is her healer. Is that different? Is there a difference between the two? Absolutely. And that difference is vast. She believed that Jesus is her healer. What is the reward for such a seeker? Yes, it is her illness that is being healed. But it's more than that. God himself, which is the most precious rewarder, will be added to her. She obtained actually God as her rewarder. Every time when we experience God's grace, not only that our problem is solved, but we also come to know God a little bit better. We become closer to him. In fact, God's life in us is increased through our experience of his grace. God himself at the end become our true rewarder. Now there is a second more important question or reason as to why the Lord Jesus wanted to identify this woman whom he had healed. And the second reason is this: by the testimony of this woman, the Lord wants his disciples and the multitude to know that there is a huge difference between the two group of people. The first group is represented by the multitude, pressing and crowding the Lord Jesus. And of course, the second is the woman's attitude. The Lord wants his disciple to learn this lesson. The Lord wants to show the multitude that unless you come and stretch out your hand of faith, I would not notice you. Sorry. No matter who you are, how important you think you are, I will not notice you. But as soon as you come, and you come at me, and you stretch out your hand, and you want to reach out to me, guess what? I notice you. You're different. You're different than any other, the multitude. Those who are like the woman, acting in faith, believing in the grace of the Lord, have to have a great desire to have a real contact with Christ. Those are the ones that God will recognize. Jesus wanted to use this woman's example of how she sought after him with all diligence to show his disciple and the multitude how to approach God. She gave us a good example. In other words, God desired that we come to seek Him the same way as this woman. We would not let our opportunity casually slip by. And every time when we come, we determine in our heart to come with a purpose, no matter how hard the outward situation may seem, no matter how low your spiritual condition may be, we must overcome all obstacles. We simply want to have a real contact with the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you this one question, brothers and sisters. When was the last time you had a real contact with the Lord? When was it? May God stir your heart up to seek Him, to rid of those outward superficial way of fawning around Him, and to lay hold of Christ as He is lay hold of you. Just like what Paul said in Philippians, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So in here, Paul has only one desire, and that is to lay hold of Jesus, to have a constant contact with the Lord. This is what his desire is. He knows that every time when he has a real contact with the Lord Jesus, the result is he comes to know the Lord Jesus a little bit more. And this knowledge of the Lord is most precious to him, to such an extent that he was willing to count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus his Lord. What about you and me? Let us bow for a word of prayer. Lord, even though our words are so inadequate, but we know that the Holy Spirit is reaching out to those hearts that are disturbed, to those hearts who might feel unworthy, to those hearts that might even have given up. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will somehow come, as you have said, Lord, after 2 days, you will revive us. And on the third day, you will raise us up. Oh, let us press on to know the Lord. And Lord, you promise that your going forth is as certain as the dawn. And you will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Lord, you promise that. And you are a God who will not lie. Help us, Lord. Help us to have the perseverance. Help us not to just give up halfway. Help us to learn this lesson from this woman who was so feeble, who was in the ruin of her life, who was at the end of her rope. And yet, Lord, she has a determined heart. She has only one focus, and that is to get at Jesus. Lord, help us to have the same attitude. We know that the only plea that we have is our guilt. We know that the only way that we can come to the Lord is by looking to your grace on your throne of mercy. Lord, come and change us. Come and give us this experience of and this pressure, this pleasure of coming to know you in a more intimate way, far more than what we know you now. We ask that you would come and bless each and every one who hears it. In your precious name we pray. Amen.